Welcome, citizens. You're listening to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Here, thinkers and doers always have a key to the city. The mayor is in, so office hours start now.
Welcome, citizens. New Amsterdam Radio starts now. How's everyone doing? I know you're doing great. I know I'm doing fantastic. It's the fall in it. We're in the thick of it. Not sure if you're in a place where leaves are falling or you're making an apple cider or collecting those pumpkins, but the temperature cools down a bit. Hopefully your projects haven't slowed down as well. NewAmsterdam.com, that's the website to learn more about this show and all the other ones. And of course, New Amsterdam Radio is available on that X at New_Amsterdam and on Threads at New Amsterdam and on Instagram at New Amsterdam. Of course, we get some housekeeping out the way before we get to our conversation with Deborah Razo, who started REN, the Women's Real Estate Network, a place for women to get together to learn about the ins and outs of what was seemingly an impenetrable submarket, I guess, culture, community as well. It was like a business niche, but it's also a cultural niche as well. The Orlando Aces are rolling into playoff form. And New Amsterdam Radio Entertainment are just proud sponsors of the Orlando Aces. If you've never seen or heard about Florida Grid League, make sure you check that out. Plug in Orlando Aces, Florida Grid League into that Google machine, and I'm sure things will come up about it. But this year, they were undefeated in regular season, so let's hope they bring home the chip. And when I'm about town, trying to find out new sporting events. In fact, I got some hot tickets to some soccer right here in Los Angeles. I use SeatGeek, and you should too. SeatGeek is the premier way to get yourself front row or even wherever you want to be around concerts around town. Use promo code FLOBITO, that's FLOBITO, for $20 off your first order. I know I've used it. It's come in handy because ticket fees are no joke. That's why I use SeatGeek. Great prices and promo code FLOBITO, you have a bit of an inside edge. Yeah, so my conversation with Deborah Razo was fantastic. You know, just being able to ask her about what it means to not only know something or to be knowledgeable in something, but to build a platform, in this case, this community REN, for other women who are interested in real estate for others. And I'm sure you'll appreciate it as well. Enough of that, enough of my rambling, enough of my jibber-jabbering. Now it's time for my chat with Deborah Razo.
It's going great. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
You are busy. I was actually
I'm tired right now.
I mean, that's a question I had, because to be honest with you, I took a nap this morning and I realized, man, I've been up since 5 a.m. I'm getting at an age where I need a mid-morning nap. How do you keep things going? How do you keep the fires burning?
Wow. You know what? I think part of it stems from just, I really love what I do. You know, when you're into something and you don't like it and you're watching the clock and the hour can be the longest hour ever. And then when you're really into something and you look up and it's been 4 hours, that's my day. That's my day. I love what I do. So it's like, damn, I'm pretty lucky. My days go really fast and they're really full, but I feel so blessed that I can do what I do.
You know, during the pandemic, I used to call that the good tired. You know what I mean? Like, I used to put 18 hours doing this, but I feel so like accomplished. But the cliche is, right, find something you love. You never work a day in your life. Is that true, though? Are there some days you're like, you know what? This feels like work. I love it, but it sucks.
You know, definitely. And I mean, there's good days and bad days, and there's good moments and bad moments, you know. But when I can say that mostly it's wonderful, like, I think that's like a plus. You know, I had a friend that once told me that happiness is in moments. You know, happiness isn't a sustained thing, right? So you take moments and you capture happiness and capture happiness and capture happiness along the way, right? So, you know, I get to capture happiness a lot. So I'm pretty blessed with that. But, you know, I hate this cliche, to be honest with you. I hate it. And I hate that I'm going to say it, that whole work hard, play hard thing, you know, but I do. Like, I work really hard and then I get to go play and, you know, and fill the cup again. Right.
Yeah.
So, so I think there is something to balance, although I don't think it's a regular thing. Like, I feel like life is more like a symphony. Sure. You're playing different things at different times, and there's times when it's all crescendoing.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
And
right.
There's the moments of silence, right? But so it's nice.
You're not the first person who said that. Like the backlash between the phrase work hard play, because I grew up in that time, right? I'm a 90s kid, right? Everything is like, you think of the Gordon Geckos, a lot of modern entrepreneurs, you think, are kind of like, you know what, I do that, but I hate branding it as that. We think of the wrong imagery when it comes to that sort of thing, or
I don't know, I guess so, you know, I don't know why I have such a thing about that. But the truth is, you know, it is what I do. You know, I do work hard, and I think hard, maybe it's the hard word. Maybe it's not hard. I work really passionately, you know? Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I feel like you're a little obsessed. I mean, you know, self-talk, you're a little obsessed. And, you know, and then I think, but it's good obsessed,
right.
You know,
Hey, I hear that. So let's get into what it is, right? So my brother has been dabbling in real estate, like most people who are trying to find ways to shift the income pie from 100% active to maybe some passive there. But you went through that path, and not only that, you built a platform for others. So tell me more about the Women's Real Estate Network, and what does it mean today?
Oh, okay. So there was a lot of questions in that question. So I'm just going to back up and tell you how I found real estate, because I think that's really important, and especially to people that are entrepreneurs out there, right?
Yeah.
I've been an entrepreneur for over 20 years. Right? I'll just say over 20.
Yeah. Whatever. I've been 20 plus years old for like 20 years. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So I've been an entrepreneur for a really long time. And, you know, and the truth of the matter is, what I didn't realize was that I was really building a job for myself, right? I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there that become an entrepreneur, and what you really did is you gave yourself a job, and, you know, and then you have to do that job over and over again, you know, during your entrepreneur days. You know, and part of that comes from kind of a lone wolf thing. You know, you feel like you're the only one in the business, and, you know, and that's where it is. You know, and then I had something happen to my life that caused me to have an opportunity to start over. Like, I know there's a lot of people out there and probably have those opportunities, right? And sure. For some people, it's the death of a loved one or a divorce. You know, for me, it was a car accident. About just over 13 years ago, I was in an SUV with a friend, and the tire blew, and she lost control of the car, and I was in the passenger side, and we flipped. Mm-hmm. And we flipped driver's side first, so I got the brunt of the impact. And after I was air-vac'd out and, you know, hospitalized, they, you know, stitched my head back together and told me I had a broken neck.
Wow.
And, you know, it was this time for me. It took me about a year to heal. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't work, and I was self-employed. I had my own business. I was like anybody out there who has a little, you know, one of their own businesses. And so it really interrupted everything. And I had a lot of time to think on my hands. And really what I thought was, I had a good life, don't get me wrong, but I didn't have the life I dreamt of.
Okay.
I was like, you know, what about those people that are out there talking about passive income, and they're traveling the world, and they have time freedoms and energy freedoms. And, you know, that's what I want to be, right? When I started out being an entrepreneur, I think that's the idea I had in my mind, but it's not the reality of what I created, sure. You know? Sure. And my brother, God bless him, came out and helped take care of me. And during that time we were talking, and I was telling him, like, I want to change my life. I want to become more of a passive investor. I want to have that mailbox money, that passive income coming in so that I can enjoy my life more. Right. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, I understand that, you know, maybe if that's what you want, you're going to have to start with your mindset. He had done a bunch of Tony Robbins work. For those of you that don't know, Tony Robbins is an author and, you know, high performance coach. And he's like, maybe you should try doing an event, you know, doing something when you're ready, you know? And I did. I got healed. I got out. I went to a Tony event. I drank the Kool-Aid. I did all the events. You know? But the truth is, I really needed a shift in my mindset to be able to make shifts in my life, right? And I started Googling passive income, and there's a lot of stuff that comes up. You know, royalties comes up. You know, there's a lot of things that come up, but real estate kept coming up. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pick real estate. I'm going to get me some, you know? And that was really the beginning of a journey for me of not only a skill set, changing a skill set, learning a skill set about how to purchase real estate and all that kind of stuff, but also changing a mindset. You know, they say in real estate that it's a team sport. Well, I had been a lone wolf. I had been a solopreneur, you know, like, you know, doing it all myself was how I did it, you know? And it was like, oh, wow, I'm going to have to learn this new skill set. I'm going to have to learn, you know, how to engage other people and how to partner and how to be a great partner. And, you know, all, you know, it was a whole different area of growth for me.
Can I jump in here just a quick second up the whole solopreneur life? Was it a situation where it's like, I looked for help and didn't find the knowledge base because no one saw the vision? Or was kind of like, well, I don't even know how to start asking people. I'm gonna go at it alone. What was your thing?
Yeah, I don't even know how to start asking people for help.
Okay.
You know, like I had been doing it on my own for so long. It wasn't natural to me to like say, hey, you want to do this with me? Or, hey, can you split that with me? Or, you know, it just wasn't. I thought if I had to do it, I'd need to do it myself. And honestly, that's how I was running my previous business. Right. You know, so it was no wonder I was like worn out. You know, so that you know, that became the beginning of the changes. And while I was going through all this Robin stuff, I actually became a trainer of his. I still am a trainer of his. We're people that help people make their transitions at the events themselves. It's a special, it's a taught skill set, you know. And what happened was I realized that I had a heart for women in business in particular. You know, real estate is typically a male dominated business. And I really kind of wanted to associate with other people like me. And that's just what it is. Other people like me, other women, right? Not anything against men, nothing. Just, you know, women think differently. I mean, you're a guy, you know that.
Yeah, you're right.
We think differently. We do things differently. And I wanted to associate with people that think like me and do like me. And so it was kind of a combination of my love for real estate and my love for mindset that the Women's Real Estate Network was born, because I wanted to let women realize that they could have what they want to, and that there are other women out there doing it. You know, because when you see somebody who's like you, who's out there doing what you want to do, you start to believe you can do it.
Sure.
So that was the beginning of it.
Well, let's talk about Tony Robbins just a quick second, because that actually leads to my next question. Because I was from the generation where my mom would like load in the cassettes, because it's coming like 80 cassette packs. And Tony Robbins was in my brain as a certain kind of person. Personal Power was the one that my mom had with the little like wireframe guy on the cover, you know? And then years later, I saw I Am Not Your Guru. And I'm like, that guy sounds like Tony Robbins, but his personality to me was way more aggressive. So the question I have is that when you're making a network for other people, there must be a lot of expectations of your leadership style, but you're also working with different people with different personalities, different strengths, different weaknesses. How do you tailor that, if at all, to someone who may be interested in working with you in REN, but may have a different skill set to provide?
You know what? I think that, you know, it comes with how you work with anybody, you know, and the fact of the matter is I don't judge anyone. Like I can't help somebody and judge them at the same time.
Sure.
I just can't. So, you know, if somebody is doing something very different to me, it's really curious to me. Like, I'm like, wow, how do you do that? Why do you do that? You know, like, it's not a judgment. It's more of a curiosity, you know, and it's more, well, how, you know, is that better or worse? Or is that serving you? Is it not? You know, let's talk about that, you know, and, you know, I think it's been a learned thing over the years, but, you know, getting into real intimacy with people, you know, and talking about stuff that you would maybe not normally talk about with somebody, you know, and allowing that to happen in such a beautiful way. And I think that's one of the things I've learned about being in the environment. I mean, one of the reasons I still do stuff with him is because I'm around other people like me who lovingly hold me to a very high standard.
Yeah.
And when I'm off my game, lovingly put me back on.
Right, right. Hey, flexibility and leadership keeps the Kool-Aid fresh. So that's why I always want to know how people do it.
You know what I mean? Absolutely.
The last thing you want to do is like, I did it for 20 years this way. Okay, well.
And flexibility is key. Flexibility is key, you know, to any business, you know, having that kind of flexibility, amazing.
How do you build a knowledge base? Like, how do you interact with people who may know something that you don't? You just hit up the email method, you go to business events, you high five them, sudden DMs.
Here's the truth. You know, I got into that accident and I had two kids in high school and I was a single mom. And they were, you know, I'd gone through a lot of my savings. So I was on this path of like, I need to make it happen quick. I just lost a lot of time and savings and money. And I'm at this point. And the truth is, once it became clear to me what I wanted to get there fast too. Right. Like, you know, you're on a path and you zone in on something. And what I learned in the Robbins realm is that if you want to do something, you align yourself with those that are doing what you want to do. And then you either partner with them or in some way try to add tremendous value to their life. Right. Yeah. And that's what I did. You know, I aligned myself with people along the path that I tried to add tremendous value, you know, in their life. They were adding value in my life. And then together we were going forward. You know, and therefore it accelerated my path, you know? Sure. So, you know, that was my way of doing it, you know?
Can I get into the granular nature of real estate is right now? You know, I live here in Los Angeles. Well, I live in Palms, which is across the street from Culver City. So I always say Culver City adjacent. I can look over the Sony pictures as I see right there. There is a hot trend that's been around for about 10 years about multifamily houses. And a lot of times people are kind of going into that, to the multifamily movement. They'll have groups like that. What has been the appeal for newer investors in that realm to try multifamily investment, to try to dip their toes in that kind of specific kind of real estate subsection?
Right. Yeah. I'm actually in multifamily myself, not in Los Angeles though, but, you know, I think for me, and I'll just give my two cents. I started investing, I started flipping here in Southern California. And then I would take that capital that I made from a flip and then I would get into a buy and hold, because what was my outcome after the accident? I'm like, I want the cash flow, right? So I wanted cash flowing in. Yeah. And so I started investing outside of LA. I started investing in Memphis, Tennessee. And at one point I bought a duplex and I realized, oh, you know, not like a single family house. When one person moves out, you're out rent, right? Like right. A duplex, you're only out half the rent. You've got one roof. You're not as many costs, you know, like, okay, I replaced one roof for two tenants for two incomes. Right. And then it dawned on me like, oh, maybe that's what the multifamily thing is about. Right. Because I knew people that were in multifamily, but it seemed complex and very expensive to me, you know? And once again, that was my mindset at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, maybe I need to look into this. But the fact of the matter is, when you have a lot of people under one roof, you're actually generating more income. So when one person leaves, it's not as, you know, it's not a topsy-turvy boat, you know, you can sustain that. Right. And there's a lot of appreciation, and with our housing shortage these days, it's, you know, it still is a good investment to have. And so that's when I started learning about that. And once again, aligning myself with people that were successful at it.
Yeah.
And trying to add complete value to them so that I could learn. Not that I didn't do training, you know, that I didn't do workshops and things like that too, but you know, that's how I got into it.
And if you don't mind me asking, you can always skip this if it's too personal. And your holdings are pretty much spread nationwide. You have international holdings.
So I have single family homes in Memphis, Tennessee. And then I have a few apartment complexes. They're mainly in Arizona and Texas. And I just opened a bed and breakfast in Puerto Rico.
What part? I'm trying to go out there.
San Juan, in a suburb of San Juan called Miramar. And Puerto Rico got on my list because one of our REN women, right? Because I'm alongside investors all the time. Sure. One of our REN women went out and decided to go to Puerto Rico. And like any friend that I have that moves to a tropical island, I raise my hand and say, hey, can I come visit?
Yeah. How would you describe the community at REN? Are the excursions everyone goes together? Is it kind of strictly like cordial? Is it like dock based? Yeah. You guys have Zoom meets? What's that like day to day?
Yeah, you know, we have Zoom. Pre-COVID, we were 12 chapters all over the country. Then, you know, during COVID, we Zoom, and now we Zoom and then get together quarterly. We try and get together quarterly. I would say, women are very collaborative people. You could tell that by, you know, just us, you know, going to dinner together. We're all talking, we're all trying to help each other, you know. Oh, you need, a tenant attorney? I've got a tenant attorney. You need a foundation guy? I've got a foundation guy. I mean, we're very collaborative species. and that's what I like to foster in our community, you know, collaboration, you know, cooperation. Women statistically are very good investors. They actually, for returns, in a lot of the stats that I've read, both in stock and real estate, we outperform men, but we're not in as many deals. There is something that happens for us. We know when to get a deal. I mean, if you've seen any of us shop, you'll know that we know when a deal is happening.
Yeah, sure.
But when the price ticket gets so high, like real estate, there's a confidence factor there. And in our community, we say we lend each other our confidence. Go for it, girl. Borrow my confidence. Go put that offer in.
Yeah.
You know? And that's how we operate. And I love that about us.
So no secret handshakes, but everyone knows that they're REN affiliated.
And we also jokingly say there's crying in real estate, you know, because there are days, you know, that it's hard and you're just, you know, like, I can't deal with it today, you know, but that's what we're there for each other.
Have you come across somebody who is interested about that world, but they have the negative confidence? Like, man, I have no shot. I don't have the runway. I don't even have the operative capital to even do the huge shot from the half court mark. Like, what do you do to help them out to get that confidence, to get that little seed money? Is there a process, an on-ramping, an onboarding process at all?
I don't really consider it an onboarding process, but I'm gonna answer that in two forms. One is, you know, how do you get that confidence? And the other is talk about seed money.
Sure.
I needed that confidence, and I was in REN, obviously. I'm a founder of it, and I was going to a chapter meeting up in Seattle, and I met a woman developer. And I went up to her afterwards and I was like, wow, you don't meet any women developers, right? Like, how did you get into this? And she said, you're a flipper, right? And I said, yeah. And she said, I used to be a flipper. Developing is so much easier. And I was like, what? And we had this, like, you know, I don't know, probably an hour conversation after that. And she was telling me, like, yeah, it's all up front and this is how you do it, and blah, 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 blah. And here's the thing. I didn't think I could be a woman developer until I met her. Like, I just never crossed my mind. That avenue wasn't open for me. Like, I never thought it was. But then I came back to LA, and next thing I know, I'm looking at things differently, and I end up becoming a developer, right? So our model was, we take single family homes that were zoned for multifamily, we'd knock them down and we build fourplexes, right? So, but I never thought I could do it until somebody like me told me I could. Right. And I think that's part of what we offer other women. Right. Sure. Any woman that's sitting there talking out there listening is now meeting a woman that has assets like this. Right.
Yeah.
And I hope that makes them think, maybe I could do it too. Because that's what it makes me think when I meet all these women.
No, I totally hear that. You know, there's a quote from Ian Fleming, who, depending on who you ask, either wrote James Bond or Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. that said, you only live twice, once when you're born and once when you stare death in the face. Is that true, you think, in your life?
Yeah. I often think that, like I was given a second chance for sure. I feel sometimes I'm on borrowed time, and I think in that respect, I don't like to waste time. Like I feel like maybe prior to the accident, I sat in fear a lot more than I ever do now. And like it or not, that's what, that was the impetus for me. Shit, I could get in a car accident tomorrow to call beyond gone. Might as well just balls to the wall now.
I had a similar situation, and I apologize to my long-term listeners because I feel like I tell the story all the time. Well, I always wanted to do stand-up comedy, and I had complications from a surgery where I almost bled out on my couch afterwards. I was very heavy. I lost a bunch of weight. I got the skin surgery to like put the skin back together, and one of my suture lines had reopened, so I was like bleeding out everywhere. And I thought I was going to die that night, but when I survived the next morning, obviously, spoiler alert, I decided to do comedy for the first time, and that put me into the whole path of entertainment and podcasting and broadcasting. So I do believe that you look death in the face and go, what do I want to do? How much time do I have? The mortal coil and all of that. So that's why I wanted to see your perspective, because it does feel like Ren is getting bigger and better. I look at the testimonies here on YouTube. I'm pointing off screen. For those listening on the show, I'm pointing at my screen as if you can see it. But there's testimonials up and down, people who say, hey, look, this changed my life. This is something that I didn't even think about until they interacted with your organization. The question I have for you is like, is this what you consider your legacy? Why or why not?
I never thought it would be. I didn't go into it thinking that. I went into it because I was wanting to surround myself with other powerful women, right? I like purely selfish, purely selfish reasons.
Like the
And
Avengers, I get it, yeah.
then along the path, it became more, I realized, just us being around each other, how much it changed each other and how much it had us all growing in the same direction. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And it's sometimes really hard for me to listen to those testimonials going, wow, I started that? You're kidding. But it's true. And I love the fact that whatever's happened in my life has been able to impact the other people's lives too. And I hope it does. I hope it does continue. I hope there is a legacy that's born out of this. I think there is enough women that it's changed their trajectory that now it's on its own path. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Deborah Razzo, New Amsterdam Radio. Before we get you out of here, there's a couple quick questions we have to ask all of our guests on the show. Kind of like a lightning round, kind of not. It's not a big deal. Would you be down to answer some questions? Humor me, if you will.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you mentioned at the beginning of the show that you try to play hard to refill your cup. What does that look like when you have a day off?
Oh gosh. I like being at the beach. I like water. I like drawing. I like singing. I love comedy, so I would love to hear I like laughing. I like enjoying friends. It's those types of things.
Oh yeah, I can't draw to save my life, but everything else sounds like a good time. It's pretty bad. Don't pick me for Pictionary. It's not good. Do you have a favorite junk food? And if so, what is that?
I'm from Southern California, and I gotta say, tacos.
Okay.
I'm a sucker for any kind of taco.
What's your
I
favorite taco? What's your favorite?
don't know. Oh, don't make me choose. Like, I could go hard shell, I could go soft shell, I could go French taco, I could go, beefy carnitas.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for Mexican food.
She's like, what's your favorite? Yes. Okay, there you go. You mentioned going to Puerto Rico. What is on your travel bucket list if you have one?
Yeah, I do. I have never been to Greece, and I really wanted to experience that culture. I hear Thailand is really good. I've been fortunate enough to travel a little bit, a lot over in Europe. And then, I've never been to, Yellowstone National Park, and I've always
Oh,
wanted to do that, So, and oh, and I want to see the Aurora Borealis,
wow.
the
Okay,
Northern Lights.
yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot still left to adventure.
I kind of fell into the Aurora Borealis. I had a comedy festival in April in Alaska, and I kind of went, and the sun sets at like 11:30, and it just happened to be out. It's out there for like months, so you could totally go to Anchorage or what have you to go do it now. If not now, when, Deborah? If not now, when? And lastly, and this could be as silly or as serious as you like it to be, what's the best gift you ever received from a coworker or a mentee or somebody you worked with?
Co-worker or a mentee or somebody I've worked with. I'm just going to give you the first thing that popped into my mind. And that is that some of our members send me little wrens. They send me, you know, like Wren is a bird, right?
Yeah.
So I've got Wren bookcase stands. I've got little Wren stuffed animals. And it's fun. It's fun to me. Like, you know, our little bird means something to me. So yeah, it's fun.
Absolutely. Just a personal question. Are you a fan of Wren's before? It was kind of like a background name where you're like, oh, this means Wren. Like how did.
Yeah. I was like, well, what should I call this? And I was like, Women's Real Estate Network. And I'm like, that's a mouthful. Right.
I hear that.
Yeah. Like WREN. Let's call it Wren for short. And hey, then I had the logo done and it was like, okay.
Yeah. There used to be a bar in LA called the Wren. I thought it was kind of even after that too.
Oh, no,
that's way that. Better. Way
there's
better.
There's a building downtown that has WREN down the side of it.
That is a back when I that's actually a long story. When I took comedy classes, when I started taking those comedy classes after my near-death experience, it was right across the street from there at a place called the Clown House. And so I remember that area being pre-gentrified, but now it is fancy. There's a tap room on the first floor and everything at the Wren downtown.
Yeah.
but Deborah, thanks so much for being on New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creative thinkers and doers. If someone wanted to interact with you, learn more about Wren, how'd they go about doing that?
Sure. If they want to interact with me, they can go to deborahrazo.com, and it's D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Razo, R-A-Z-O.com. And if you want to learn more about Wren, go to wreninspires.com, or you can go to Wren Inspires Facebook or Wren Inspires Instagram or Wren Inspires Twitter or Wren just inspires all over the place.
Okay. And if I want taco recommendations, what do I hit up?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I have to put those together.
Stand by.
Thanks so much for listening to New Amsterdam Radio. Learn more about the show at newamsterdam.com. That's kneamsterdam.com. Until next time, this city is yours.